Casey Anderson. Zachary Baker.
Here.
Joe Brammer.
Here.
Dale Calvert.
Here.
Glenn Grabowski.
Here.
Graham Hughes.
Here.
Richard Mayer.
Here.
Larry Moraga.
Here.
Jeanne Mortimer.
Here.
Kathy Rivers.
Here.
Jim Sayer.
Here.
Eric Stewart is here. Zach Ensler.
Here.
Great. Awesome. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming. We have no audience. I'm shocked. Great.
They sent their part.
Great. Did you set out the minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
They were attached to the calendar invitation.
I read them from Jeffrey, so I'll agree with those ones. But does anyone have any comments on the minutes from either of the two previous meetings?
You want to move it for both of them at one time?
Yes.
So move.
Second.
Who was the second?
Either of us. A discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any exceptions? Great. Go off.
All right, want to start with our on-street parking update. We began sales of the on-street parking, that's the non-resident student commuter permit. We're about 2 weeks in almost, and this is where you would, as a customer, enter the information and apply for a permit. So pretty basic. We try to make it as easy as possible on the customers. We've tested the portal. We've done some training with our staff to make sure that we're helping our customers as quickly as possible. We see our new rates here that went to effect for this year. There's some semester rates as well. And JR, would you give us an update on the activity that we're seeing so far from the permit sales?
Yeah, we've currently sold 107 already, a little over $44,000 that we've sold. that's above average for what we normally do for renewals. Renewals usually average somewhere around 75 to 85. So we've got quite a bit more for that. We still have another 4 days to go. We will shut off the renewals on Friday to give us a chance to get everything updated next week before August 1st when we go open to the public.
Thank you. Yeah, and when we open to the public, we do sell more new permits than renewals, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I think we have about 570 or so permits available for sale.
572.
572. So pretty good so far. The word has gotten out, and the returning students or employees, I'm finding out, around the U of A particularly, take advantage of that program as well. Take any questions on the on-street parking permit program? No? Okay.
Yep, let's move on to the neighborhood reinvestment program.
All right, the neighborhood reinvestment program, establishing program parameters and neighborhood outreach comments. So once again, good morning. Thanks for you all being here. So good to be with you today. Wanted to recap some of the positive news and share some harder news that I wanted to share with you, some thoughts that I have. Obviously, we've spent the last few weeks and really months discussing the program with stakeholders, and I'm excited to discuss the next steps with them based on the alternate proposals discussed. As you saw, the alternates were proposed last week. They're only a week old. So because the alternate's only a week old and based on the feedback, I haven't yet had the opportunity to share the alternates with all of the neighborhoods. I've shared them with about half the neighborhoods, and I'm seeking to look to the commission to either approve myself to continue to reach out to the neighborhoods with the alternates and possibly delay a vote on the program until our next commission meeting, or if the commission is in favor of one of the alternates, the commission could vote today to either put it in place and allow me some more time to share the agreed to proposal with the neighborhoods and then come back to the commission with any results. So thanks to staff, and I spoke with my directors yesterday about this. they were in favor of possibly delaying the vote, totally up to the commission though, and allowing me some more time to discuss the alternates. We have reached the alternates based on a middle ground with the neighborhoods. We do think that the alternates both meet a variety of stakeholders in the middle. So if we do delay, I know the delay is not what we're striving for, but the goal is to share the information and bring it all together. And our role is to make sure we make the right decision and support a successful program and the city. So with that, I would like to do, we could either discuss that or I can go into a recap. And I wanted to highlight a couple of the small remaining items yet to be agreed on.
That sounds good to me.
Okay. So as we compiled details of the past program, it was clear that the mechanism used to accumulate the funds to pay out for the RPP, and that was the solvency of at least $4,000 and the 25% participation trigger, it simply could not be met by most of these neighborhoods. So over the past few months, our aim was to restore the original thresholds, which is what we've been communicating until the alternates were proposed during the special meeting last week. As you know, we were met with a resounding no by the neighborhoods about the 25% participation level and the surplus requirement. In the past, the thought was that the neighborhoods would participate more, and there are various reasons for the low participation. Some blocks simply don't have neighbors that want to participate, or they have enough off-street parking at their residence. So since the program kicked off in 2015, approximately $300,000 minus the completed projects have been accumulated in the earned funds by the neighborhoods. And we know that the accumulation of funds includes the 10% of meter income, meter exemption permits, sole residential permits, visitor permits, non-residential permits, and shared parking permits. Please note there is a max spend limit listed as at $10,000 to $12,000, and the question is, do we increase that for larger projects? So we wanted to strike a balance with Park Tucson between, you know, spending, you know, what's comfortable for us spending each year versus what a traffic mitigation project costs. So a speed hump costs approximately $6,000, a traffic circle based on, you know, a super duper one or a simple one could cost up to $26,000. So two caps that I'm interested in talking about today are the neighborhood cap of potentially up to $30,000 a year to spend for if they want to conduct a traffic circle, for example, and Park Tucson's annual spend. So if we have multiple projects going on, what is Park Tucson comfortable with spending a year? And we did some thinking, and our comfort level is $60,000 per year. And that would allow two traffic circles, for example, to be completed, or multiple smaller projects. So annual fund accumulation based on the current method is in the $60,000 range. So after all the permit revenue is generated, then you apply all the participation percentage requirements, we are making $60,000 a year. So we would feel that $60,000 is a comfortable max spend for Park Tucson. So ultimately, we need to strive towards a balanced budget, need to protect the resources. We don't have much wiggle room, but at the same time, we've heard the value of the permit program from the neighbors, and it's been made clear that the benefits should remain in effect with some of these permit funds being provided back to the neighborhoods. And at this point, I think we need to view this as a necessary program. And the alternates, recap, both alternate methods remove the 25% threshold. They also remove the $4,000 surplus criteria. Alternate number one involves reducing the non-residential permit revenue contributions from 100% to 10%. And alternate number two involves placing a $3,000 cap on annual individual neighborhood fund accumulation. So essentially, the proposal is to cut the overall fund accumulation by half. It still incentivizes greater participation with the participation percentage being applied against the funds. But at the same time, it protects Park Tucson from potentially accumulating $60,000 a year in dedicated funds. It takes that down to $30,000. So alternate number one would result in a fund accumulation of about $37,000 a year, and alternate number two about $27,000. And each alternate affects different neighborhoods in different ways. Certain neighborhoods would see less funds accumulated with one versus two. For example, North University would lose some revenue because they would lose 90% of the non-residential permit revenue. And alternate number two, which is the cap, would cap some of the higher earning neighborhoods such as Sam Hughes. They would be reduced quite a bit down to 3,000. And I can point out the various nuances of each neighborhood on the screen if you'd like. Obviously, compromise needs to be achieved, and I feel that cutting everything by half is a good compromise. We obviously will budget for this. And just to refresh everybody's memory, I'll bring up the alternates. This is the original fund balance sheet. Now, once again, we're only using 2023 figures on these sheets as an example. So the fiscal year just ended. We're still wrapping that up. So at the end of this week, I think the fiscal year should be wrapped up, and we'll be able to run numbers for 24. So going through this, the totals at the end here, we would be liable for $60,000 total for the year in earned funds. There's the $60,000. And looking at the alternates, there we go. That would take it down to $37,400 based on the 23 figures for alternate number one. And just pointing out that here's the big difference, 10% of non-res. So a big hit would be, let's pick out, let's do a bigger one. North University, for example, 10% equals about $8,000 in earned funds versus the original method where they'd be making $84,000. It's not that they're making it, that's what the permit revenues generated. You still apply the funds. So that's just one example of how a neighborhood with a lot of non-residential permit availability would be affected by alternate number one. Alternate number two is the $3,000 cap. So you take the earned funds and then you put a cap on it. So a neighborhood like Jefferson Park makes $982 a year, that's not affected. However, a neighborhood like North University, you take the earned funds from $9,600 down to $3,000. And that results in an annual accumulation of almost $27,000 a year. So that essentially is the differences between the two caps, or the two alternates, I mean. Just to summarize, feedback was presented in favor of no minimum participation percentage and removing the thresholds. I'm going to suggest that we raise the threshold minimum to $30,000 a year for each neighborhood. That would allow them to spend accumulated funds on a larger project. And we received comments for both higher and lower thresholds. With alternate number two, there's a $3,000 cap. I'd like to also establish that Park Tucson spend limit of $60,000 a year. And the way to execute this administratively is that neighborhoods would submit project proposals to Park Tucson, and it would be on a first-come, first-served basis for that year. The total amount to be combined for neighborhood projects. So you could do five neighborhood projects at 12,000, or you know, do the math, and that we can accommodate each project. Of course, funds never go away until you spend them. So until we reach that $60,000 cap, we would accommodate projects and then cut it off for the year and say we've spent all our money for the year on this. Another comment was to reduce this $500 minimum to zero for carry forward funds. So alternate numbers one and two removes this criteria of the $500 minimum. That was basically to address the surplus and deficits based on the costs of operating the program. And as you know, with the alternates, we're removing all the cost factors from the program. It's simply whatever you earn, you accumulate, and that's the neighborhood to spend. Alternate proposals, we removed the criteria for the $500 due to the deficits being erased. Earned funds would simply only go up, and except for project expenditures when there would be a deduction. And as a reminder, Park Tucson intends to honor past conversations and previously understood accumulated funds. So we have $300,000 racked up in the funds as of now. We intend to keep that there and make that available to the neighborhoods. All the decisions we make would be for fiscal year 24 going forward. We know about the different revenue sources. We know about that again. So once again, in the language, we would remove the overall solvency. There would be no cost factored in. Number two, opportunity to accumulate surpluses to usable levels. We still want to keep that $1,000 minimum in there to be used for projects. I think we're all in agreement that borrowing against the fund is not permitted, can't go into the future. And of course, establishing a $3,000 cap for alternate two. No reinvest would be provided to an interim neighborhood until it reaches $1,000. And Park Tucson neighborhood investment funds can be used to pay for a portion of the project. It doesn't need to be for the whole project, so I just want to clear that up. If a neighborhood wants to take $5,000 from Park Tucson's budget and then add that up with another revenue source, I did want to remind everybody about additional revenue sources, Prop 411, Safe Streets. Those are alternate revenue sources. There's a neighborhood improvement program that Jesse Soto runs. So there are alternate funding sources that the Department of Transportation, the City of Tucson, does provide. And during my outreach to the neighborhood, I've tried to emphasize that. I probably should have emphasized those funds as well. I do need to make sure that neighborhoods understand it's not just Park Tucson funds you can tap into from the city for investments. But there are other funds, and if you allow me for additional outreach, I'll definitely highlight those methods. Our funds are limited to right-of-way improvements only, and we erase the confidence in the accuracy of the program's accounting as far as costs. Costs are not factored, and we can definitely show all the permit revenue generated. That's very easy, that there's no subjectivity there. We're going to erase the expectation of eventual solvency. Costs are not factored again, and the options of disposition of accumulated surpluses. We're deleting the potential to reduce permit fees instead of using the funds. We don't want to see the permit fees reduced anymore or in the future. In fact, we do want to open up the conversation in I'm going to guess a year or two about potentially increasing the neighborhood permit fees, but that's not really part of this conversation, just for your information in the future. So that pretty much sums up what I wanted to share today, and hand it over to the commission for any feedback and guidance.
Tom, you mentioned wanting to complete outreach to some that you haven't touched yet. Would that result in amendment to either of these proposals, or these are our two alternatives, we're eventually going to vote on them, but you want to solicit more? I'm just wondering if we're going to go back to zero based on you going out and soliciting more feedback, or if the feedback you're going to seek is based on these two proposals.
Right, so I feel if the commission feels the same, that the two alternates are final, that we've established the parameters, and it's simply advising neighborhoods before a vote takes place that it's going to be one of these alternates. And if the commission feels like they want to vote on one of the alternates, I can even say alternate number one is proposed. This is what we're planning to vote on.
Richard?
First come, first serve.
Yeah.
That can be gained. You might settle it on in a certain number of years how someone can be, how often someone can be first.
Thank you.
I have another comment.
Yeah.
Actually, never mind, I'll get to it later.
So the first come, first served, is that fiscal you're thinking?
Yes.
Okay. How does that work with the city's resources so far as, you know, construction work itself?
We will have it in the budget. You know, it'll be taken out of the budget, and Jesse Soto with the neighborhood investment group has contractors that he can work with and suggest to neighborhoods. So we feel that we can take these projects on at any time during the year.
Please, yeah.
Tom, you said you still have some neighbors to talk to. You talked to the difficult ones yet, or
yes. So Jefferson.
Yeah, so you have the easy ones or the hard ones.
Yeah, yeah. They could potentially be easy ones. Neighbors I'm thinking of, I have reached out to El Presidio, Armory Park. So El Presidio, Armory Park, I did have discussions originally that everyone knows, but I did not update them on the alternatives, and I feel that if I give them a chance to hear me out before a vote takes place, that I'll be in a little bit better standing with the neighborhoods.
I completely understand the need to communicate. Even if we're down to two alternatives, we're not going to really change much from that. I think your job and your boss's job would be easier. Otherwise, I think it's, you know, that extra time is, if you don't take that extra time, it's a self-inflicted.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any questions?
I have a question. Is the $300,000, Tom, do we know the makeup of that? Like, this neighborhood is generated this amount of it, et cetera?
Yes, absolutely. So here's the overall plan, and disregard the caps there, the max spends, because I'm asking if that can go to the 30,000, but we have all the balances from the beginning
okay.
here, and that's the total. So we have this broken down by neighborhood.
And then so if you take last year, for example, the revenue was 60, $1,000. If you didn't spend $60,000, which I don't think you did, in projects, where does that revenue actually go?
Right. So it's part of our permit revenue. So we account for permit revenue. It's in that bucket, and this program just takes from permit revenue.
So basically, it's offset by your expenses that you're balancing your budget with the revenue from this dollar from this program.
It's from the RPP program, the overall permit program.
So it doesn't go, and this is back to the point I've made a couple of times, the revenue generated doesn't go into an account, but we'll just call it a savings account. And you can spend on it, because then it wouldn't matter how much, like the $60,000 cap or $30,000 cap a year is because you're building it into your operating budget. Whereas if all the revenue just went into its own account, wouldn't matter. They could have a huge project, and over the last 10 years, they've accumulated $90,000, and they want to spend $90,000. What comes out of that doesn't impact your operating budget that year, and you just
right.
Do it.
Right. We haven't we haven't set that aside. We haven't created an account. And Trudy and I were talking yesterday about ways to approach this, and we're going to have additional discussions with the director of finance to share your comment about.
And I don't know the way the city's built, so that might not work, but I'm just thinking, if it was its own thing over here and you had each neighborhood's amount in there, so like sub accounts, you might get some, you know, and they spend, as long as they had a certain $1,000 balance or whatever it is, do we really care? They've made all that money.
Right.
How much they spend is up to them, but you might get some interest in the program if they have more, not control over it, but it's theirs, right? It's sitting in the city account, and if, you know,
right.
That is certainly the question that I always get at CCRC. How much money does my neighborhood have?
Right. And the spend limits are in place to protect the budget, the spend every year, because it is coming out of our overall operating
budget. Yeah, it's impacting
budget.
Park Tucson, whereas
right.
If it was its own little thing over here, why do we care? If they generated $100,000,
I think we need to think about something, though. There are, I have a hard time seeing the $300,000 as that big of a significance in the overall city budget limitations, but it could be.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's not in that budget, if it's not budgeted amount in the city budget, they can't, the city can't spend the money, even though it's in the fund.
Sure, yep.
Okay, so there's limits to worry about there, and you know, somebody with more city finance
would
have to
be able to
explain more of that.
Yeah, but, it'd have to be its own budget. Really.
I mean, is it considered like a restricted grant? You can only use that money for this purpose.
Yeah, Trudy, I don't know if that's something.
It can definitely be moved to restricted.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, we'll get donors who will give us money and they say, this is for you to fix the air conditioning, and that's it. And if you can't afford to fix the air conditioning, the money has to sit there until you can afford to fix the air conditioning. So I think that, and that I agree with the neighborhoods knowing what they have in that amount. It's a restricted fund that we're holding their cash.
Trudy and I will definitely continue discussions and see what the approach could be if we can meet something like that. I definitely hear you. We have to just consider that this is revenue generated by the permits, and this program is, contrived to give some of that money back from the permit revenue generated. So it's a little tricky, but I definitely hear what you're saying.
There's just a lot of administrative rules and time and resource around it, and it doesn't, like, if I were, I have to be careful because I'm not one of those neighborhoods, but it would be nice if we had control over those, our own generated dollars, and we could spend them how we wanted to, not entirely how we wanted.
Right.
So anyways.
Richard?
I guess it's interesting to me that it's like restricted to right away, because initially it was not allowed to be spent in right away except for sidewalk improvements. Donovan and Barbara Medler were really opposed to paying for the traffic circles, and that's just a comment. And then the other thing is, so the comparison about who wins and loses with the two, is that in the stuff you sent out the other day or not?
If you look at the Excel spreadsheet, you could do a comparison, but if it's easier for you, I can make a list of neighborhoods that would either benefit or not benefit based on the alternates and send that out.
That'd be great, because I have no ability to read this screen right now. So.
Yeah, I hear you.
I have a question. Is there any coordination? I mean, that kind of like first come, first serve is a little bit alarming. Unsettling, maybe.
Okay.
And would there be some type of coordination between like 411 funds or, you know, neighborhood reinvestment funds that are solicited by the neighborhoods themselves? I mean, because if there are these three different kind of resources from which a single neighborhood could pull, and 411 same, like the safety improvements, that's also first come, first serve. So one neighborhood could really benefit, while another one, just because perhaps they're not as organized or whatever, could kind of lose a lot. So I'm wondering what the oversight on that would be. Is there any?
Right. No, I'm not proposing the oversight to coordinate, except Jesse would be involved in at least two of those funding sources.
Mm-hmm.
So I could talk to him about setting up a coordinating, some type of coordination process. But I don't want to overreach and say that we would help coordinate that.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Zach,
yeah. Do you feel like one of the alternates over the other incentivizes neighborhood permit participation more than the others? And I know it all balances out to some degree, but just looking at, you know, there's a almost a $40,000, you know, loss for just that unit, where, you know, the revenue brought in by neighborhood participation, you know, after cost. And I wonder if there's a way where, I mean, I totally agree that 25% is too high, but I'm wondering if there's an alternate in your mind that makes it more appealing to neighborhoods to get the word out for participation if they know that there's a better percentage or gain for them in the long run.
Right, I would have to say that alternate number one provides a little more incentive for participation. It does not cap your residential permit accumulation, so it really just affects the neighborhoods with the non-residential permits. So alternate number one, I would say does have a little edge over participation promotion, whereas alternate number two kind of spreads out the hurt in a way where everybody can go up to a common goal, a $3,000 max, so that applies more evenly across the neighborhood. And of course, the total spend at the end of the year is a little less with alternate number two.
And then for alternate one, just the cap is?
There
is no.
There's no cap on your accumulated funds for the year. No, it's, you accumulate your funds.
And then alternate two is capped at 3,000.
Right.
Richard?
Just an additional comment. Sam, you spent money on parks in the past. That's not right away in the sense that we're talking about right away. As an example.
With the park trees on funds?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I think they did a Ramad in the park.
The wrong version of park.
Right. I do get confused with Parks and Rec sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's but going forward, we would like to keep it that to the right of way.
It's interesting that it changed.
So Tom, do you need us to make a motion to authorize you to go out and seek additional feedback from neighborhood groups?
I would like that, yes.
I present a motion for Tom to seek additional input from neighborhood groups.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Who is the second?
Me.
Richard. All right, is there any opposed or exceptions? Wonderful. Would you like a motion or a vote for us to choose one or two that you could say the commission feels, I mean, do we all feel strongly one way or another? Do we think it's best for Tom to go out saying this is what the commission would support, or?
The plan had been for us to be ready to vote today, so
yeah.
Hopefully we know which one of the two.
Yeah.
That's
something I think would be more efficient.
Okay. Agree.
But does anybody else have any comments on that?
I agree, Madam Chair.
Okay, so does somebody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. That the commission provides support for alternate number one as a middle ground that still incentivizes participation, but also allows more neighborhoods to engage.
I'll second. Zach. Other Zach.
Zach squared this morning.
Do we have any discussion? Richard.
So doesn't Alt 1 favor neighborhoods that have more access to permit parking in their neighborhoods? Like, for instance, West University has a lot. And not just the RPP, but the other stuff, the meter revenue and all that.
Yeah.
So it keeps rich neighborhoods richer.
So can I ask a clarification question on that? Does the participation percentage rate even that out? In other words, we're not looking at gross numbers, we're looking at percentage.
Correct.
So I think Richard has a good point. I want to make sure that I'm not overlooking that, but I think, does that even it out?
Even it out, it reduces the overall, you know, it results in the earned funds. I'm not sure if I understand what evening out.
Well, what I'm saying is I'm sensitive to what we've heard where some said, look, we have a lot of traffic, but we don't have as much opportunity to participate in residential on-street parking. So I think that was either North University or Jefferson or both, and so I think that's a really good point where their infrastructure is still being beat down, but they're not in the same position.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if when we say that there's a participation percentage that governs the formula, does that make it more equitable for neighborhoods where there's not as much?
Absolutely, because it's just based on your participation percentage. There ultimately are different amounts of permit parking available in each neighborhood. That's a given. Certain neighborhoods probably have double what other neighborhoods have, if not more. So based on the size of your neighborhood, the available curb space. Similarly, certain neighborhoods have non-residential permits where others don't. So there is going to be not quite an even playing field amongst the neighborhoods. There's different factors and nuances in within each neighborhood. But the participation percentage does kind of blend that out. And, as long as you're participating, the more you participate, the more money you can earn. But I do hear your point, but that's what's one of the difficult things about this program is that there's different opportunities within each neighborhood to earn revenue. And just the way the permits are available, the amount of space, things like that. So it isn't a completely level playing field, the amount of revenue they could generate in terms of the number of permit sales.
So then, to Richard's point, does all one favor neighborhoods? Where are you landing on?
Where I'm landing is, number one, still favors the neighborhood. It's reduced. The favoring is reduced. But it favors it in two ways. One is that the accumulated funds are going to be there. And those neighborhoods who have accumulated over the years much higher balances, they're going to have a reserve for a long number of years going forward that the other neighborhoods aren't going to have. Now, the second proposal puts a flat 3,000 cap on additions. And over a 10 or 15 year period of time, that's going to level those things out, and everybody will eventually get the 3,000 a year, assuming they spend it. But, you know, I think if I'm answering the question, and I would say that one allows more variance than two. Two will put a cap in place on additions, not a cap on the former accumulated funds. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Is the best way to vote for Jeffrey to just do roll call and we'll say one or two? Or?
That probably works. what's the preference of Park Tucson financially?
Financially, alternate number two is more affordable for Park Tucson.
Do you feel alternate one, do you think that would incentivize more participation as the neighborhoods talk to their neighbors?
Potentially. For the neighborhoods that don't reach the $3,000 cap, it would. For neighborhoods like Sam Hughes, for example, that are far exceeding the cap, it would not incentivize them to do more, to sell more.
Sorry.
So, number one is it's only benefiting the neighborhoods that have meters or non-residential parking. I don't feel like it's going to adjust the participation at all, because all it is doing is all their money is relied on the non-residential and the meters. So when you look at Northview is able to get $9,000, but over $8,000 of that is just in student commuter non-res permits. So option number one is only going to benefit those neighborhoods that have the non-res or meters in their neighborhoods.
Okay. And we don't look at that as kind of like, or do we look at that as something that's that neighborhood does have a lot more traffic, right? Because of the growth of, you know, the university and how, you know, people are living.
More traffic, more pedestrians.
Correct.
So
maybe
like,
more of a need.
They might have more of a need for traffic calming because they do have more traffic, right? But if that's the intention, but it's not used that way, I don't know. It's complicated.
So when you look at Western University, all their non-residential stuff is in a commercial part that basically has been ceded to development, and we're getting permit revenue. Western University is, and meter revenue
and all the things that they do to mitigate traffic will occur in the actual residential part of the neighborhood. So they're getting a huge benefit. And I think that's true of another neighborhood that
Like Iron Horse got money from, you know, Opus or whatever to basically improve the park, you know,
right,
as a way to keep the neighborhood from opposing the pad, you know.
Yeah, you got bought out on that. It's
100%, unfortunately. But I mean, that is some unacknowledged revenue that the neighborhoods like Northview get,
right?
Outside of city resources.
I mean, West University took the capstone money too, so. But
yeah.
but there's the actual Park Tucson revenue that's coming from that eastern end of West University. They contributed to their account, and it's not like they need a mall for you need a mall for Fourth Avenue with what's already happening right there. It's enough. Again, it's like it's rich neighborhood, and also anybody who's around the street fair is making money off the street fair too.
Right.
So it's the rich neighborhoods who accumulate. Sam Hughes is in a different category of a rich neighborhood in terms of the dinner. And it just seems inequitable to me.
Okay, option one seems
inequitable. Zach, yeah, please. So, a clarifying question. So, in terms of neighborhood incentivizing neighborhoods to participate in the permit program, alternative one on paper incentivizes that, but to A, address the neighborhood concerns we've heard, and to create a better, more financially sustainable model, you're saying that alternative two checks those two boxes. That's helpful clarification.
I mean, what just personally, oh, sorry, please go ahead.
No, I just had a question. I might have missed this earlier, but how did we come to the 10% and the $3,000? Why is it not 25% or 30 or?
Right, so starting off with a benchmark of what Park Tucson's comfortable with and the compromise we want to make. You know, we initially, the proposal was for solvency to ensure that we're not losing money. Had to give that up, so I figured about half of what the neighborhoods expect is what we're comfortable with as well. So kind of meeting in the middle was my mentality there. The 10% of non-residential permits, you know, my thought there is, you know, this is a residential program. Why should they see 100% of the non-res permits? They don't really have control over that.
Yeah.
They do have control over the residential. So that's more of like a moral question, you know, should they get, just like the meter revenue is 10%, it's a similar approach.
Yeah.
And the $3,000 cap is just, you know, putting it across the board, equitable money savings that will be in the middle. So that was my mentality there.
Okay, thank you.
The participation percentages by neighborhood don't vary a lot, regardless of what the Park Tucson policy is. You have years of data that tells you, okay, this neighborhood is in at such a percent. So I don't think alternate one will serve to incentivize participation the way we might think it would, because this program's been in place for a while and your participation numbers are what they are by neighborhood. So I don't see that changing it. Jeffrey, if you're ready to call the roll,
exactly what I was coming over here to say. As you know, this is why we had that meeting last week. At some point, we need to make this.
And I apologize for the difference.
I agree on the percentages aren't going to vary much, and the reason is because who's involved in a neighborhood association is a really small group of people that doesn't represent a neighborhood in any large sense. And that's the only way that stuff gets communicated. So you're exactly right. It's not going to change.
Well, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, for all of the stuff that you sent over and the meeting, the last 5 minutes were really clarifying for me. I don't think I'm going to vote for alternative one, and I made the motion, so I'm happy to withdraw my motion if that makes things a little easier.
Yeah, that's what you need to do.
What's that?
Yeah, What's that?
Yeah.
You need to withdraw that motion.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and withdraw
and
that.
I'm going to vote which alternative you want first.
So moved. All
right.
Yeah, okay.
He withdraws his motion. You seconded it originally.
That's
okay.
Zach, the other Zach.
Okay. Oh, the other Zach.
The other Zach.
Did somebody else second that was?
I'll second.
Okay, that's
fine.
Great. So, is there a new motion that we do a roll call to vote for one or two, or a motion
just
to
Jeffrey.
Vote for two? Oh, sorry.
So, who moved it?
He moved to withdraw his motion.
Right.
I seconded.
Okay.
So that motion is now off the table.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I don't think there's anything we have to do for that.
Right.
But now we have a new motion that we're going to do a roll call vote on voting on either alternate one or alternate two.
And did someone move that?
I'll move it.
On
second.
Sorry.
No, I withdrew my motion. So, we waited until you left.
Okay, so Jeffrey, do you want to do a roll call and see what y'all vote?
Alternate number one, and so I'm sorry. Rephrase that. Zachary Baker.
Option one.
Jill Bremer.
Option two.
Dale Calvert.
Option two.
Glenn Grabsky.
Option two.
Graham Hughes.
Option two.
Richard Mayers.
Two.
Larry Moraga.
Option one.
Jeannie Mortimer.
Two.
Kathy Rivers.
Two.
Jim Sayer.
Abstain.
Zach Gensler.
Two.
And I move to one. Third. Two passes.
Okay. So you're going to take to the remaining neighborhoods if that's what the commission voted on. So, and does that vote stand regardless of what the remaining neighborhoods have to say? If there's intense opposition, do we keep talking about this, or this is it?
I can bring back the results of the discussions and let you know any feedback.
Okay.
And, and at that time, I'll ask for a vote to make the program official.
Okay. Richard?
So to clarify, this is a straw poll? Or no? This is just vote we just had.
That's the guy's vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just had straw. Thank you all for your time. Lovely.
Oh,
Larry.
I just have to run 2:09 a.m.
Okay.
So. I think that's the only thing we have to vote on, so we're good.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Down.
Thank you all for your time and effort for that topic.
I think maybe when, I think it's such a bummer. Okay, so we can move on to part two on financial statements.
All right, thank you, sir. If we can go to the second page balance sheet, perfect. All right, this is just a quick picture of the balance sheet showing our assets are $507,000 with our liabilities at just over $1 million, leaving us in a deficit with the fund balance. And there was a large decrease in our assets from last month, and that is because the debt service hit. And that is what has caused that big deficit. And this page is representing our revenues. And we see our biggest increase in revenues is in the off-street parking compared to last year. And one other thing, I'm sorry, that I wanted to point out is we are closing the fiscal year, so this is not the final report for FY24. Our finance team really has until the end of August to have all of FY24 in. So at our next meeting, I should have 24 closed and give you guys final numbers for the year. Moving through, we pretty much are trending above in our revenues in all areas, except for our citations. Citations were decreased from last year. So overall, we do have an increase in our revenues, but as we look through at our expenditures, we also had a large increase in our expenditures. So bottom line, that brings us down to our deficit of the $532,000, and that is because we had to take into account the deficit from last year of $364,000. I'm sorry, this year is 364. We had to absorb the loss from last year of 168, and that brings us to the 532 bottom line.
Jim has a question.
Yes.
What's the big jump in the contracted services under expenses?
That's our Garda. Security insurance. So they had a price increase and hours increase. So the Garda security services that more hours. Yeah.
When do you use them mostly? What's the highest? Friday and Saturday night.
Exactly. Friday, Saturday night, we have the heaviest staff on duty.
Are they there till 2-3 in the morning?
3 in the morning.
24 hours in
some places. 24 hours technically. Yeah. 3 in the mornings are additional hours. Yeah. But 24/7 in all of our apartment projects.
But I don't think that jump in reality is $4 million, right? What did it? You refresh my memory on that $1.5 million that was supposed to ask. Revenue in 23,
right?
And
so
did they reclass some expenses out?
Yes.
Was that a category of expense that they reclassed?
You know, I actually didn't bring up the expenses, but I don't think it was Garda World because it was from the previous year.
Okay. I think it's $150,000 about is the increase,
isn't it? For contracted services, is that where we're at?
That's not a million of it, it's just that.
Yeah, it looks like about a million. Yeah, $1,000,036 for contractual services from 23.
Can I see the column headers? What? Oh, that's the 260 is last year.
Yes, it is. Oh. Yep, 2024 is the closest column to the descriptions.
I don't think it went up that much, though. No, something.
Well, it's not only Garda World in contractual
okay.
services,
right.
But overall, contractual services did go up by that much. And I can definitely pull that detail if we need it.
Must be accounted for somewhere else, because right, the Garda World security was probably close to $1 million last year. I'm guessing it didn't go up that much. I agree.
To go from 260 to a million,
right?
Two is.
Right.
Pretty dramatic.
I think we can dig into that.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we need to dig into it a little more, but there were multiple factors causing that. We had problems in the garages, even before Donovan, unfortunately, he had increased the hours.
Yes.
In addition, with the increases in the state minimum wage, etc., and the fact that the guard contract was up, there was a substantial jump in the guard contract
sure, yeah.
that caused it. And because of the problems in the garages and the changes, there's been increases in hours.
Yeah, I was aware of that. This just seems about to get
But
it
this is
about
a that's a big number. Yes.
Yeah, and actually seeing that big number, I wouldn't doubt if that was part of the expenses that were transferred out. Because it wasn't only 260. I remember 737 is in my head.
Yeah.
It was even north of that.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. what I'm saying is to kind of simplify. So last year, with got some COVID funds of 1.5,
mm-hmm.
right? And originally they showed it as a revenue.
Right.
And the city came in and said, no, it's not a revenue because we have to spend it on something. So they basically took that 1.5. And just, instead of calling it revenue, they just took out expenses and put it against it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a accounting ring to us.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
That is absolutely
okay.
right. Thank you.
Sorry, that one just caught my eye.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to the next page, please, Tom. This is showing our FY24 budget and the actuals that have hit for revenues and expenditures. And so this is so far. And so we see our deficit this year of the $364,128 so far until I've completely closed the year. And then the next page breaks down the revenues quickly so that we can see where those revenues came in. And then, did I include the FY25 in here as well, Tom?
Is that it?
Yep. So this is a quick picture of the FY25 budget. And I prepared these papers, I think, on the 2nd of July, so there were no actuals yet. But at our next meeting, we will certainly have actuals for FY25 to present.
Excuse me.
So, did we say that you're going to get back to us on the breakdown of the contractual services?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do we want to know a listing of all the expenses that were moved out to apply to that 1.5?
I think that would be a good idea.
Okay.
Concept of Park Tucson when it was created was that it would be an enterprise fund that would be self-sustaining. And we're not meeting that because of a lot, primarily because of the pandemic, and just for everybody's history. Prior to the pandemic, we had between $1.5 and $2 million surplus. And we need to keep working to get there. And so the biggest impediment to that is the other thing is that we have the annual approximately, and I'm going to use very approximate numbers here, $1 million payment on these two parking garages. And obviously our budget, if we had made our last payment on the parking garages, our budget would be all of a sudden solved, but it's not. And so one of the questions that I've asked, and I think we need to follow up on, is that, okay, keep an idea about when those annual payments finish. I think it's 2 or 3 years, but that's something I want to get back on the concept of how much more that balance is, how much longer that's going to work. But the other thing is we've got to try to keep raising revenues and until we get there, because we at least got to get to break even. And hopefully, for want of a future pandemic or other problem, we need to build up surpluses to get there. Now, that's a long, long-term goal. It's not a this-week goal. But that's something that we need to keep in mind about what we're doing. So that's pretty much the report. If there's, Glenn, you have anything you want to add? Or?
Question. So if 3 years away is final payment on the garages, and that balance, that effectively balances the budget?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're spending $1 million a year approximately. Some years it's been $1.2 million. Some years it's $1.1 million. Some years it's, you know, the principal and interest. And yeah, if we had another $1 million, we had a $300,000 deficit at the moment, $1 million would then solve that. Then we go into the function of women, okay, now we want to start building some surplus for future shocks, as any business, any enterprise that's self-sustaining needs to have some reserves. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Greer, were you asking when does these payments end?
Yeah, if that's what's creating the deficit,
yeah,
is the payments for the garages, when is the term of that over?
Yeah, that's my question too. I've asked that question of staff, and we want to get that answer. I've had answers over the years. My recollection is it's 2 to 3 years, but that's a 76-year-old's recollection. So
there are several debt services, and I'm still getting a handle on it, but I am showing some of them end in 26, some of them end in 28. And of course, if we compared the two budgets, it was 1.6 million last year, and this year it's 755. So we do have a good reduction in debt service for FY25.
And one of the ones that's been there, that's been adding to that, is years ago when we bought the original parking meter, those were financed. And that, I think, paid off in the last year or so.
In the lights?
So there have been various things. And so, but the two biggest elements of it are the two parking lots.
Okay, great. Move on to business district parking.
We did not meet last month, but our next meeting is Friday, August 9th.
Their higher ups and get back to us. We do have a meeting, a follow meeting this Friday with Tucson High. So we'll get some results from them. Cross your fingers, but you know, some of the, we suggested some potential changes to the curb that they have for drop offs and pickups, how to use it more efficiently, to throw some more staff out there. We even suggested having them donate some of their property to additional vehicle drop off pickup area. They definitely heard what the concerns were. Police attended as well as members from our traffic engineering team. So we proposed probably about 10 different piecemeal solutions, and a lot of them were dependent on Tucson's financial status. So we even suggested that they could use one of our parking structures for additional parking. If they provide a bus route, you know, busing, we would provide reduced permit costs for one of our garages. And Just waiting to hear back. Hopefully Friday we have some good news, and I'll definitely share that with the committee.
Thank you for that, because I would have never remembered.
Yeah, thank you.
I think your comment about that, the idea of providing a bus and parking structure at reduced rates is I think a very good idea. And I live way out there on the east side, and so I don't live with it on a day-to-day basis, but my wife was also the PTSA president at Tucson High School for 2 years. So and our daughter is 40 some years old now, so I mean, that's how long ago it is. And that's how long that problem has been here. And that is an interesting option. So I'm glad to see, or be interested to see what their answer is.
I'll definitely report back.
Thank you. And marketing, did marketing meet?
We did not. We have not met yet. And I think August is a good time to restart the marketing subcommittees.
Okay.
With school being back in session, the permit sales. Permit sales is another thing we told Tucson High to promote around the for the on-street parking. But we're going to plan to meet in August, and I'll send the Erica will send the commission the committee invite out for August.
Okay, great. Thank you. So is any, Richard? No? I thought you had your this met. Okay. Does anybody have any future agenda items? I say we adjourn. It's 9:08.